Part 1. The Gamers and Their Games. The Workers at Their Work. In the game, Matthew's characters killed monsters, as they did every single night. But tonight, as Matthew thoughtfully chopsticked a dumpling out of the styrofoam clamshell, dipped it in the red-hot sauce, and popped it into his mouth, his little squadron did something extraordinary. They began to win. There were 8 monitors on his desk, arranged in 2 ranks of 4, the top row supported on a shelf he'd bought from an old lady scrap dealer in front of the Dongmen Market. She'd also sold him the monitors, shaking her head at his idiocy. At a time when everyone wanted giant 30-inch screens, why did he want this collection of dinky little 9-inch displays? So they'd all fit on his desk. Not many people could play 8 simultaneous games of Svartalfheim Warriors. For one thing, Coca-Cola, who owned the game, had devoted a lot of programmer time to preventing you from playing more than 1 game on a single PC. So you had to somehow get 8 PCs onto 1 desk, with 8 keyboards and 8 mice on the desk too, and room enough for your dumplings, and an ashtray, and a stack of Indian comic books, and that stupid war axe that Ping gave him, and his notebooks, and his sketchbook, and his laptop, and... it was a crowded desk. And it was noisy. He'd set up 8 pairs of cheap speakers, each glued to the appropriate monitor, turned down low to the normal hum of Svartalfheim, the clash of axes, the roar of ice giants, the eldritch music of black elves, which sounded a lot like the demo programs on the electric keyboards his mother had spent half her life manufacturing. Now they were all making casino noise, payoff noises, and his raiding party began to clean up. The gold rolled into their accounts. He was playing trolls. It was trolls versus elves in Svartalfheim, though there was an expansion module with light elves and some kind of walking tree, and he'd come through an instance dungeon that was the underground lair of a minor dark elvish princeling. The lair was only medium hard, with a lot of trash mobs early on, then a bunch of dark elf cannon fodder to be mown down, some traps, and then the level boss, a wizard who had to be taken out by the spellcasters and Matthew's party, while the healers healed them and the tanks killed anything that tried to attack them. So far, so good. Matthew had run and mapped the dungeon on his second night in world. A quick recce that showed that he could expect to do about 400 golds worth of business there in about 20 minutes, which made it a pretty poor way to earn a living. But Matthew kept very good notes. And among his notes was the fact that the very last set of guards had dropped some Meritidbane, which was part of the powerful living nightmare spell in the new expansion module. There were players all over Germany, Switzerland, and Denmark who were buying Meritidbane for 800 gold per plant. His initial recce had netted him 5 plants. That brought the total expected take from the dungeon up to 4,400 gold for 20 minutes, or 13,200 gold per hour, which, at the day's exchange, was worth about $30, or 285 renminbi, which was, he thought for a second, more than 71 bowls of dumplings. Jackpot. His hands flew over the mice, taking direct control of the squad. He'd worked out the optimal path through the dungeon now, then head out to the Huora Internet Cafe and see who he could find to do runs with him at this. With any luck, they could take... his eyes rolled up as he thought again. 1,000,000 gold out of the dungeon if they could get the whole cafe working on it. They dumped the gold as they went, and by the time Coca-Cola's systems administrators figured out anything was wrong, they'd have pulled almost $3,000 out of the game. That was a year's rent for one night's work. His hands trembled as he flipped open a notebook to a new page and began to take notes with his left hand while his right hand worked the game. He was just about to close his notebook and head for the cafe. He needed more dumplings on the way. Could he stop for them? Could he afford to? But he needed to eat. And coffee, lots of coffee. When the door splintered and smashed against the wall, bouncing back before it was kicked open again, admitting the cold fluorescent light from outside into his tiny cave of a room, 3 men entered his room and closed the door behind them, restoring the dark. One of them found the light switch and clicked it a few times without effect, then cursed in Mandarin and punched Matthew in the ear so hard his head spun around on his neck, contriving to bounce off the desk. The pain was blinding, searing, sudden.
"Light," one of the men commanded,
his voice reaching Matthew through the high-pitched whine of his ringing ear. Clumsily, he fumbled for the desk lamp behind the Indian comics, knocked it over, and then one of the men seized it roughly and turned it on, shining it full on Matthew's face, making him squint his watering eyes.
"You have been warned,"
the man who'd hit him said. Matthew couldn't see him, but he didn't need to. He knew the voice, the unmistakable Wenzhou accent, almost impossible to understand.
"Now, another warning."
There was the snick of a telescoping baton being unfurled, and Matthew flinched and tried to bring his arms up to shield his head before the weapon swung. But the other two had him by the arms now, and the baton whistled past his ear. But it didn't smash his cheekbone or his collarbone. Rather, it was the screen before him that smashed, sending tiny sharp fragments of glass out in a cloud that seemed to expand in slow motion, peppering his face and hands. Then another screen went, and another, and another. One by one, the man dispassionately smashed all 8 screens, letting out little smoker's grunts as he worked. Then, with a much bigger, guttier grunt, he took hold of one end of the shelf and tipped it on its edge, sending the smashed monitors on it sliding onto the floor, taking the comics, the clamshell, the ashtray, all of it sliding onto the narrow bed that was jammed up against the desk, then onto the floor in a crash as loud as a basketball match in a glass factory.